Shalom and welcome to Nourish Your Biblical Roots Conversations with Yael. I'm your host, Yael Eckstein, President and CEO of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Today's guest is a Christian friend of the Jewish people and of Israel at a time when we certainly need friends. Bishop E.W. Jackson has been such a friend for decades, standing for America and Israel, and so strongly for faith and for freedom. A Protestant minister, an attorney with his degree from Harvard Law School, and a former United States Marine, Bishop Jackson has also been a presidential candidate and a candidate for the U.S. Senate. The pastor of Exodus Faith Ministries in Chesapeake, Virginia, he is also the founder of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, fighting for a culture of faith, family, and freedom. As I said, Israel and the Jewish people need true friends, specifically in this moment, and Bishop E.W. Jackson is a Christian friend, an American friend, a longtime friend of the fellowship, and a friend who stands for our shared faith and values. I have spoken to prime ministers, leaders, opposition members, and I don't remember a time that I've been so excited for a conversation. So welcome to my podcast.
Yael, thank you so much. I'm honored to be with you. Of course, I've watched you for years on television. My wife and I pray for and support the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And it is really an honor to have an opportunity to talk to you and, of course, to all of our friends out there, all the friends of Israel out there.
Well, you are incredible. You are an inspiration to so many people, including myself. And I've been following for so long how you are unapologetic in the values that you stand for and what you know is truth and your faith. And you've always been so brave to go against the tide, to stand with what I believe, what you believe are the godly values that we are called to defend. And so I want to learn a little bit about you, about your early childhood, how your early life shaped you and your faith. Could you tell us a little bit about your family and your upbringing?
Sure, yeah, I began in ways that didn't seem auspicious, at least from the outside looking in, because I was born into a broken home. I was in foster care for the first 10 years of my life, and my father rescued me out of foster care at the age of 10 years old. And I learned something as I reflected back on that, which is that the problem of Americans, of minorities, for example, the poor, is really not that there are people standing in the way of opportunity. It's that the values and the vision that you need in order to take advantage of the opportunities are there must be instilled in you, and someone must give you a sense of hope. And my dad really did that for me, and that's what changed the trajectory of my life from being a gang member at the age of 10 to ultimately going on, to college and law school and practicing law and being in ministry and the many other things I've had an opportunity to do. And I say, I'm not bragging on myself, but I brag on my dad, because families are still so critically important and fathers are so critically important. And I brag on my country because, in spite of what so many say, it is a land of opportunity. And I really believe that I'm proof positive of that.
Wow. Wow. Well, you've taken very hard steps to get to where you are. Didn't come easy, not only because of your childhood that gave you very few opportunities, even though you had those sparks of light of how important a parent is, a father is in the life of his child, but you worked hard yourself that no one else could have done for you. You served in the Marines. How did your service shape your understanding of so many of the conflicts around the world? And what tools did it give you personally that maybe you would even say is the foundation of so much of your success in life?
Well, one of the things it taught me, Yael, is that there's no freedom without sacrifice. Mm. There's no freedom without courage. I wish we lived in a world in which we beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, and nation did not lift up sword against nation or study war anymore. But that's not the world we live in. And if we're going to live peacefully in this world, we must be prepared to defend freedom, to defend our families, to defend our nation. And the Marine Corps taught me a sense of duty to America that I will never, ever forget. And really, frankly, my faith then taught me a true love for our country as well as for Israel as beacon lights of freedom and hope for the entire world. I think that's one of the reasons why the people who hate Israel tend to hate America as well. Mm-hmm. I love both.
It's incredible. And what you're saying is so personal for me as well, as I have many nieces and nephews right now serving in the Israeli army on the front lines, that I've friends who are on the front lines. We know many people here, unfortunately, who have been killed defending Israel. And my own daughter, who in just a few months will have her, she'll be entered into the Israeli army at age 18. All children here have mandatory service. And in Israel, when just when you were talking and how you wish for that day of the prophetic reality of peace, but we're not there yet, so we have to defend freedom. It reminds me of in Israel and every single ceremony that I go to for my nieces and my nephews and soon for my own children. At the ceremony in Israel by the Western Wall, the head of the army goes to every single soldier and gives them two things, a gun and a Bible, and says, "Here's a gun, here's a Bible, and I pray you'll only need to use one." That I think that is the idea of freedom, that it's not free and that we yearn for peace and we yearn for security. But just as it says in the scriptures, Hashem oz le'amo yiten, Hashem yivarech et amo bashalom. The Lord shows his strength, the Lord blesses his people with peace. That only when you're able to defend that freedom do you have any opportunity to see peace. So that message is very personal for me as I sit here in Israel under a rocket attack. I've spent half the day in bomb shelters with my children as terrorists are launching rockets and trying to destroy that peace and faith and security that Israel tries to spread to the entire world, and instead it's this war against darkness. So that was a long way of saying, I appreciate your service. I appreciate the message that you come out of it with. And I think people who join specifically the American army and these armies of freedom recognize that the ultimate value is peace. The ultimate prayer is peace. But if we're not there defending that freedom, it will be the darkness and the terrorists who are going to take over.
Yael, I thank you and your family for service to Israel because, as you know, I really believe that the destiny of Israel and America are intimately intertwined. And the same people who want to destroy Israel would love to destroy America. So, your family and all of those Israelis who are standing up for liberty are really standing up for liberty, not only for Israel, but really for liberty in America and around the world. Because I think that you really cannot separate the two. So thank you for your service to Israel. Thank you for your service in behalf of America and the world.
Thank you so much. It's so inspiring to hear you say that because you don't hear enough people recognizing that. Yet the people who are saying it very boldly and very clear are actually the terrorists. You hear the head of Iran saying that first they're going for the Saturday people, the Jews, and then they're going for the Sunday people, the Christians. And you see Hezbollah terrorists and the Houthis and all the terrorists across the Middle East saying first we're going for the little Satan, which is Israel, and then we're going for the big Satan, which is America. So to see such a influential and wise and faithful American recognize we're in this together, I think more people need to wake up to that before it's too late.
Well, Yael, I said the Marine Corps taught me a duty to my country, but when I came to understand that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to understand His reality and His claim on us, I fell in love with Israel and fell in love with America because I realized that the Jewish people really represent one of the most persecuted and perhaps the most persecuted group of people in the history of mankind. Persecuted pretty much everywhere they've ever been. And I really believe that that's because they represent something that the world doesn't understand, that the world envies, which is a sense of moral clarity that has been received by them from Moses, a sense of destiny, which has been given to them by God. And America, I really believe, shares some of those same qualities. And so for me, every Christian ought to be determined to stand with Israel in these very, very dangerous and difficult times. I mean, it's to me, Yael, it's biblical times, really, because these efforts to destroy Israel, to me, have biblical significance. And every Christian ought to be standing with Israel rather than with all the anti-Semitic naysayers and haters who are creating all these protests on our campuses and all over the country. We ought to stand up boldly and forthrightly. In fact, we have a banner in my church, Yael, that says, "Stand with Israel." And it's posted on the wall of my church for all to see. So if you walk into my church and you have a problem with Israel, you're going to probably turn right around and go right back out the door, because we want to make clear to everybody, we believe that it's the obligation of every Christian and every American, for that matter, to stand with Israel.
Wow. Well, you are not only brave, you are brilliant. You received your law degree from Harvard. I hear in your words this brilliant mixture of both faith, common values and wisdom, and also deep education that is reserved for only the brightest and only the best. How did your education influence your faith and vice versa? And how did your legal career shape your own ministry and the work that you're part of? It's very rare to find someone like you that has an expertise in all those areas. How do you hold them together?
One of the reasons why I love our country, I love the United States of America, is, and Israel shares the same quality. To me, the real mark of a great nation, Yael, is the degree to which it affirms the dignity of every human being. And we have an entire legal system, and people criticize Israel, but Israel is the place where Palestinians can live, and it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. And everyone can live in Israel, who is willing to, can live in Israel in peace if you are a citizen there. And America has created the same kind of legal system where and we haven't always done this perfectly, of course, because we're human beings. But I live in a nation where my ancestors were slaves, but I live in a nation that laid its foundation on the principle that every single human being is created equal in the sight of God. And now I become heir to that legacy of liberty and the affirmation of human dignity, that whether people agree with me or not, they are still human beings that deserve to be treated with human dignity. And to me, My legal training helped me to understand that in a way that I hadn't before, because I saw really the brilliance and the inspiration of our founding fathers, who distrusted power enough to limit the power of government, affirmed human beings enough to say human beings are capable of managing their own lives and they don't need to be dictated to day by day as to what they should say and what they should think and where they should go and where they should live and where they should work. And I tell you, the affirmation of liberty that is true for both countries, I just find it inspiring. And I'm grateful every day to live in a nation of freedom. And, you know, I've been to Israel several times. I'm looking to coming back again soon. But every time I come to Israel, I feel that same sense of inspiration, that same sense of affirmation, although sadly, Israel is beset all around by enemies who want to destroy the beautiful country that's been created there.
It's so sobering, inspiring. I feel like a broken record, because everything you say, my heart is just praise God for Bishop, praise God. Because there are so few people who are both educated, faithful, and able to see what's happening. Like you said, it's something Israel's very proud of. You know, there you won't find one Jew living in Bethlehem. You won't find one Jew living in Jenin. You won't find one Jewish person living in Gaza before this war, now that we have our soldiers there. But since 2005, you wouldn't have found one Jewish person in Gaza. And there are 2 million non-Jews, Arabs, Muslims, Druze, Bedouin, Christian in Israel. And this tiny country of only 10 million people, over 25% of them are actually not Jewish. And this is a reminder that Israel is one Jewish country with 22 Arab countries in the Arab Union. Israel is 0.4% of the entire landmass of the Middle East, and 99.6% are Arab lands. We're 7 million Jews in Israel, 7.5 million Jews in Israel, and we're surrounded by hundreds of millions of Muslims, many of them enemies. And so it's a reminder that Israel cherishes that freedom that America cherishes. We don't give citizenship to 25% of non-Jews in the only Jewish country in the entire world because we're trying to appease anyone, but because these are the faithful values of God. Equality. If you want to live in peace, you are one of us. Just like in the story of Ruth, you are my people, your God is my God, your people are my people. And so the fact they were able to see that, it feels like Israel's always on the defense trying to explain it, and people just don't want to see it. They want to see Israel as the aggressor. They want to see Israel as bad. They want to see Israel as somehow bringing the instability to the world, when in reality, if it weren't for Israel, you would have the radical Ayatollahs who are trying to destroy freedom in power, and they'd be directly going for Europe and America. So it's very sobering. And I know that it's not an easy position to take in many ways, Bishop. You're going against the tide and you're going against the trends. And like you said, I can just envision it in your church. You have a big sign that says, "We stand with Israel." You're not embarrassed of it. You don't hide it. Have you and your church personally gotten any sort of, has anyone given you any trouble for standing with Israel?
Well, sure. Before I get to that, one of the as you know, one of the many slanders against Israel is to call it an apartheid nation, this kind of thing. On one of my trips to Israel, I had the opportunity to meet many Ethiopian Jews that Israel had taken extraordinary efforts to rescue out of Ethiopia. I just thought it was a magnificent testament to, again, the commitment to human dignity. But also the non-racial nature of the state of Israel, that they didn't care about the color of the skin of these Jewish people. They cared that they were Jews and they were in trouble, and they again went through extraordinary efforts to rescue them. And I met a number of Ethiopian Jews when I was in Israel. So these lies against Israel are they sicken me, frankly, Yael, because see, they're either born of just ignorance or just hatred and anti-Semitism, and it doesn't matter to people what the facts are. I was thinking before we did this interview, Yael, I haven't heard it much lately, but you know, we used to repeat whenever we talked about Israel and the persecution of the Jewish people, never again, never again. We've forgotten that. We need to be reminded of that, that there was an attempt to completely wipe out the Jewish people, and Israel was born as a haven of rest. Not much rest going on right now, but a place of peace and safety. It wasn't created as an aggression against anybody, but as a place to which the Jewish people could repair, having witnessed an attempt to destroy them, annihilate them from the face of the earth. So to be very honest, Yael, I don't care what people think. I don't care what they think of me, and I don't care what they want to do to me. Nothing is going to deter me from standing with Israel. I am committed to laying my life on the line to the extent that I would be called upon to do so, to stand with the Jewish people. I believe that is my mandate as a Christian, and that is my mandate as an American.
Wow, powerful words, Bishop Jackson. And you make so many very important points. You know, the number of Jewish people from before the Holocaust was still more than what we are today. We still haven't made up those 6 million Jews who were burned in gas chambers. And something we say often in Israel is free Gaza. Just like the anti-Semites are saying, and as they're burning American and Israel flags, they're saying free Gaza. And in Israel, we say free Gaza as well, but we say free Gaza from Hamas, because Hamas is holding the Palestinians hostage. Israel has repeatedly reached out in peace, trying to find agreements, begging them to accept one of the agreements so we can finally live in peace with one another. When Israel pulled out in 2005 from the Gaza Strip, it was with the prayer there won't be one Jew left. They could make it into a Singapore. They have no excuse not to make it into a coastal enclave of tourism and a dreamland. And instead, they turned it into one big terror country. So, but just as Israel is being held hostage by these terrorists on our border, the Palestinian people are being held hostage by Hamas. And just as we are being held hostage by Hezbollah terrorists on our border, Lebanese people, many of them Christians, are being held hostage by Hezbollah as well. That it's an important reminder, because I think in this world of simplified slogans, people are losing the nuance that is so critical to actually understand what's happening. If you care about the Palestinian people, then you'll want to eradicate Hamas. They're not good for the Palestinian people. So everyone who's pretending to care about the Palestinian people while standing up for Hamas is not understanding what's happening here. And so America is lucky to have you. America is lucky to have your wisdom, your leadership, your faith. And I know you have millions of people who follow your every word, what you're doing, and you are a brave and righteous role model for so many people. And so I want to ask you one last question, maybe the hardest and maybe the most important question there is. How can we better educate the young people, the next generation in America, so that they can be our allies and understand this fight against hatred, and we can return to the place where the idea of freedom is valued, is understood that it's not free, and that the next generation will continue these American values of freedom, equality, and recognizing who their friends are?
Well, you know, I've said that there are many similarities between America and Israel. And one of those similarities is that it has taken courage to birth these nations. And Yael, there's no such thing as courage without conflict. And I think part of the reason why a lot of people don't speak up is that they're afraid of the consequences. They're afraid of what people might say. Mm-hmm. And I would charge every American and every Christian particularly to just step up and speak up regardless of what others might think. Don't mute yourself because you think, well, people might not like me if I stand up for Israel. I think it's gotta be personal. You know, when I first came to serve God, one of the things he impressed upon me was that the stewardship of my country was in my hands. Now, of course, I know that in single-handedly, I can't change the destiny of America, so to speak, but it was personal that I couldn't pawn it off on someone else and say, oh, well, you know, those people out there, they can do that. I realized I had to take responsibility for myself. And I would say the same thing to every Christian and every American. Take responsibility yourself where you see people who are misinformed and you see them espousing things that you know are not true. Israel has done more to try to limit civilian casualties than anything I think I've ever witnessed in the history of warfare or read about. But Hamas wants civilian casualties because they don't care about human life the way Israel does. And so they're willing to sacrifice as many lives as they can so they can use them as talking points. So this idea that somehow Israel is engaged in bad behavior and prosecuting this war in a way that it should be ashamed of, I think quite the contrary. This war started when 1,200 innocent Jewish people were brutally attacked and murdered in a surprise attack on October 7th. And Israel has a right to stop those people who are committed to that kind of activity from ever being able to do it again. So I would say every person ought to take personal responsibility, and you can start there.
Bishop Jackson, I can listen to you speak for hours, and I have so much more that I want to glean from your wisdom, so I'm going to have you back. But I want to respect your time, and thank you for coming, and ask, are there any upcoming projects that you're excited about that you'd like to share with us?
Well, Yael, first of all, we do have Stand With Israel. And as you know, we've got a Stand senior fellow for our organization with Israel, who is none other than Pastor Roger Cheeks. And we're working closely with him to celebrate, commemorate, I shouldn't say celebrate, but to commemorate what happened on October 7th and helping him to reach other churches in doing that. So that's the big project that we've got going right now. And I would encourage every Christian, every church to participate in this effort again, to make sure that we don't forget why this war is going on in the Middle East right now. It's not something that Israel precipitated, it's something that Hamas precipitated.
Incredible. That's on October 7th that we have hundreds of churches who, instead of burning the Israeli flag like the anti-Semites are doing, they're planting 1,200 flags in their churchyard to show we only stand with God and we stand America and Israel, Christians and Jews together. And I can't think of a more holy, righteous, and powerful statement than that. Bishop Jackson, you are a light to the world. We are all so grateful for everything you do, everything you are, and everything that we are able to learn from you. So thank you for being such a proud American, such a proud supporter of Israel, such an amazing friend to the Jewish people and to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And may God bless you and your family tenfold, just like you promised in Genesis.
Thank you, Yael, and God bless you, and God bless Israel.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.